This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I think it's a waste of money. I think it is just consumerism at its finest.
We share a bank account. If you buy me a gift, I paid for half of it.
Every single day that we spend together is a gift. There have been a lot of times where we've broken up.
You're making it sound like our love is military work.
If we broke up, whatever the situation is, I really do believe that you and I would both find happiness again. Welcome back to a very special episode of Tangents with Tyler and Todd, the love edition. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Happy Valentine's Day. Hope you're having a great day, spending it not necessarily with someone that you love, but as long as you're loving yourself today, that is all that matters.
That is the only thing that matters. Okay, so we're just going to dive right into it because we have a lot of opinions, not only on love, but on Valentine's Day. And we kind of wanted to share some stories from the trenches. We have been together for 15 years.
You're making it sound like our love is military work. Like,
no, but there's
Care Bear work. It's nothing but fluff and happiness and always a positive outcome.
Come on now. There have been a lot of times where we've broken up, where not lately, but I mean
in the beginning,
100%. In the early chaos.
I remember, so we were living in downtown Halifax and I took a bus to Dartmouth Crossing.
Said, gotta go.
Gotta go. We broke up and I called my mom. I remember having a peppermint hot chocolate, crying to myself in the corner of the Dartmouth Crossing, Tim Hortons, waiting for my mom to pick me up because at that time, my free bus pass from going to school, that was as far as the bus went. Mom had to drive the rest of the way.
You weren't going to get all the way out in the
woods. I said, listen, Mom, it's been a rough day. I'm going to put in 5%. I need you to give me 95 and come pick me up.
But you know what, though? It's kind of funny looking back. It's a weird memory to bring up.
right at the beginning, too.
Valentine's Day. But no, I remember that moment that you're talking about, and your mom's friend was there with her and they picked you up and stuff. And
shout out to Subi.
Yeah, shout out Subi. But it really is the reality of when you get in a relationship, you're very young, you don't know what's going on. It's very like there's a lot of games being played. Like you don't know because you're only, or for me, not to speak for you, but my only like examples of relationships was like Gossip Girl and One Tree Hill. And
well, yeah.
Like it wasn't.
It's negative. And schools don't do that. So they teach you school, or at least my experience in school, taught me sex ed. That's great. I know how to have sex with someone.
I didn't have that.
But I don't know relationships. I don't know boundaries. I don't know like how to stand up for yourself. How like there is so much that the school.
It's kind of wild.
Hey? It is wild. There's so. And how do you teach that to someone? It's something that I don't think you can necessarily teach a course on.
It's love. Life.
It's a lived experience.
Yeah.
Anyway, all this is to say we decided, given that it's Valentine's Day, we would discuss love.
And to segue into that conversation on love, we, for some reason, just shared a story about a time where we broke up.
But I think that basically what I, where that all came from, it was just like a little funny joke, and then we went into a tangent.
Yeah.
But basically, sure, it seems like Tyler and I have a great relationship.
Which we do now.
We do. There's still work that goes into it. It's an active choice we make every single day to still be a part of this relationship. And I love the choices I've made in my life. But that's not to say that it was always this way.
No.
It was
very
difficult at the beginning.
There's that like expression that like, anything worth doing is work. That's not right.
It sounds right. Sounds close.
Something. It's along those lines, but like things that are worthwhile, like they take energy, they take sacrifice, they take commitment, they take...
If you're on autopilot, if it's just easy, if there's no work going into it, if there's no learning happening from it, if there's no growth coming from it...
What are you doing it for?
What are you doing? Like that is not a relationship I would want to be in. Yeah. I find... Every year, I fall more in love with you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like...
Not as in, like, I know. But, like, yeah. Yeah, as in, me too.
Yeah. It's just, there's something I find you're changing and growing in different ways. And sure, we spend, like, 98% of our time together. Mm-hmm. But you're still growing as a unique individual, and I'm loving the person that you're becoming because I find you're like a delicate flower, kind of like a Venus flytrap, because sometimes like you'll bite you and kill you and like disintegrate you, but you're...
Sometimes I'm just a daisy blowing in the wind, what can I say?
But you're starting to open up. I find you really, really growing as a person. It's hard to describe, but... You're letting your guard down. You're more open. You're from your upbringing. We've talked about this, having been bullied for being gay and just all the stuff you had to go through. I find that is no longer like holding you back. In a social setting, you allow yourself to flourish more. You allow yourself to speak more. You allow...
Well, I think that that's more of a nature of getting into your 30s and just being like fresh out of fucks to give. I don't think that that's so much that I've just...
But I'm loving it. I'm loving this transformation. And I think that's something cool. Like, I wouldn't want to be in a relationship that with someone that is just the same.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Where you are today from where you are this time last year is completely different. And I love more because of that.
But that actually is the same with you. And I think that that is the beautiful part of being in a long-term relationship is the ability to grow together. That's something that is anyone that's been in a long-term relationship, I'm sure that they probably feel this way, but you don't grow just as individuals. You're growing together. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up many years later and you've created something that, like, I love you. Of course, I'm sexually attracted to you. Like, I think you're obviously very hot, but...
I'm pretty attracted to you as well, just going to say.
But being real for a second.
I love my blonde hair, blue-eyed man.
What can I say? When you got it all, you got it all. But the thing that I am the most attracted is... to you is like this connection that we've built. It's become something more than I thought. It's more than just like sex. It's more than just like having a great conversation with you. It's something deeper. Like there's...
Well, so a perfect example is a couple days ago, I went back onto my ADHD medication, Adderall. And one of the things that happens when I first start is I get insomnia.
It's a journey.
It's a
Let
journey.
Me tell you.
We go through insomnia, and then eventually we know that the stage of me becoming impossible to deal with and be around 5 p.m., that's next week's journey.
Rage dips in at around 7 p.m.
But we know around the 4 to 6 week period, like it is smooth sailing, high performance, we're good to go. But what happened the other night is I woke up around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I just could not get back to sleep. My brain was on overdrive, and my brain runs on overdrive, but this was like overdrive on overdrive. And so I laid there by myself for 3 hours, and then Charlie barked. I forget why. Something happened outside. There was a noise. Oh, Charlie threw up on the floor. And so I was awake. So I dealt with it. And when I came back in, you were like, you're awake. And I was like, yeah, I've been awake for a while. And you're like, well, why didn't you say anything? And I was like, well, I didn't want to bother you. And you said, come here. And you pulled me in and held me. And within maybe 5 minutes, I was asleep. I woke up an hour later. And that's love. Like, I couldn't get myself to sleep, but you got me to sleep just by holding me.
I remember you saying when we woke up, if I ever can't fall asleep again, something like that, do you mind if I wake you up and ask you to hold me? And I was like, of course not. Because the reality is, why would I want you to sit in bed and if you can't fall asleep, if me holding you makes you fall asleep? Of course I would want that.
Yeah.
But it's not, I think sometimes when you're not in love, you have like a tendency to think that you're inconveniencing your partner when sometimes you annoy me. Sometimes it's like, oh, really?
But those are very rare occasions.
Of course. But the reality is it really is never an inconvenience. Sometimes yeah. I can find it to be annoying, but I would do anything for you.
Yeah. And I know that. I just felt bad. Plus, I was in a riveting read on the Canadian government's website about the income tax updates for 2024. Riveting.
Oh, are they robbing us all more? That's for another podcast.
Oh, so anyway, all that is to say, how do you feel about Valentine's Day? Talking about love and having been in a long-term relationship, 15 years in, how do you view what we do for Valentine's Day now versus our first Valentine's Day?
So I'm going to give kind of a controversial take. I'm sure people will find this controversial.
I love controversial from you because it's entertaining.
It's very on brand. I think it's all a crock of shit. I think it's a waste of money. I think it is just consumerism at its finest.
It's to help jumpstart the sales after Christmas into the new year. Like, we're not quite to Easter, so we're going to put something in February. Yeah.
Go out and spend money. Go feel guilty. Go buy someone that you're in a relationship with something. And if you don't, then you're a bad partner. Listen, if you are only buying your loved one flowers on Valentine's Day, you're not the partner that you think you are.
But also, if you're buying flowers...
That's a stereotypical example.
I understand. But also, like, even if you... I want to just sort of push back on this, okay?
Okay.
So I understand what you're saying, but say you're the type of person that feels compelled to do something on Valentine's Day because it's a holiday, you know, it's on the calendar. You should do something. That's how you feel. Not saying that we feel that way, like, it's a regular day for you and I. There is no change. Like, we don't do anything for Valentine's Day.
No.
But if you are the type that feels that you want to do something for that Valentine's Day, or that you need to, or you should, I feel like find something for your loved one. Don't just default to an overpriced heart-shaped box of chocolates and a bouquet of roses.
Okay, like, Switzerland. Listen.
No, but like, for me, our anniversary last year, instead of getting me flowers for our anniversary, you bought me a box of Lego flowers. Like, make a twist on it. Like,
yes, Todd, but like, I would buy you a box of Lego flowers on a random Monday in June.
Well, I'm out of Lego to build, so buy me some Lego. And if you're interested, like, save up the flowers and get me the big Titanic I've been asking for years.
And the Harry Potter castle. I got some things on my shopping list, but that's neither here nor there. That's a tangent. What I'm saying is there is something more beautiful and special about giving all your love and your thought on a random Wednesday in February. Well, not February, because February is, you know what I mean.
I do.
Like, it's not about the, like, Valentine's Day of it all. It's about showing your love throughout the year and when someone is not expecting it, or for me it is anyway. The structure of the pressure, I don't like it. I've never liked it.
It kind of goes back to what we were talking about, gifts. Like, that expectation. So if someone does something for Valentine's Day, you're going to feel pressured into some sort of reaction, whether that's...
It's for the young. It's for the kids.
It's or new in love. Or
think, but think about our early times.
Maybe, okay, maybe we should reshift how we look at it. It's a day when you're in your new phase,
yeah.
Like a point on the calendar to make a day of love. But or, for you and I, we make a day of love whenever we need it. What's interesting is we don't do gifts on Valentine's Day. It's not like every Monday you bring me flowers on your way home from the office. That's not our relationship. But for some reason, you and I both are able to pick up when the other is low and surprise them with something that we know is going to bring them out of that. And that is way better than a box of chocolate on Valentine's Day, hands down.
Yeah, it really is. But I'm also like kind of just realizing Valentine's Day is truly for the people that are early in their relationship where they have that pressure, but also for people that have been in a relationship for a long time that are in a rut, like Agnes and Robert, who haven't had sex in since last Valentine's Day.
Poor Aggie.
Like, poor Aggie. She is just like...
She's over here baggy. Asking. She said, Robbie.
Robbie! Hopefully Aggie gets it today.
I hope Aggie got laid.
Do you know what I mean, though? You can't make it. You can't make it this whole production where, oh, it's Valentine's Day. It needs to be a big special thing. Make every day special.
But like the couple that does that consistently, the couple that's like the definition of the happiest couple. Oh my God, they're so in love. How many of those do we know that end up that they had a secret life elsewhere or they break up randomly? Like there's always... The ones that are the hallmark couple consistently, yeah. Don't trust them. Do not trust them.
Yeah. I tend to agree. Like, if, like, where sometimes when I'm like, I don't know about you, not you,
but I was like, me, what did I do?
But I mean, like, people, and then like a big scandal comes out.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You were overcompensating with the public facade.
I gotta say, some of the tea time submissions, I'm losing trust. I'm losing trust in society.
I'm reconsidering having kids because of some of the tea time submissions. I'm like, I just hope that Ange doesn't grow up to be like this or to be in this situation or to be like put in this situation. Like,
yeah. It's Ooh. Hard out in these streets.
But I love them. Keep them coming. Tylerandtot.com/podcast. Give us all your tea.
Yeah. Like, they really are entertaining. But, like, jokes aside, I don't know.
I get what you're saying, though, about it being new. So, I felt that pressure. Our first Valentine's Day together in Halifax, there's this hotel called the Lord Nelson. And at that time, it was one of the nicer hotels in the city. Mm-hmm. And so... I booked, this should have spoke volumes about it, but it was still cute and it was on a budget, but they had this university students special where you could book a room for one night for like a discounted price.
It was very cheap, like $99.
Which was like unheard of for this hotel. Yeah. And so the room ended up making sense. It literally looked like Jack's room in Titanic, but
it was so small.
It was, I still remember the pressure. So I had to go.
I thought that was the best thing ever, but I'll give you my hot take later.
I didn't have a credit card at the time. I had one that my parents gave me that was
that
like,
makes sense, I guess.
It was an extension of my mom's credit card and it was for emergencies only. Mm. And so I wasn't going to be like, yeah, I wanted a hotel room to raw dog it. So I used the credit card just for the deposit. So I walked down.
911 mom.
So I took the bus and then walked to the hotel and I used my debit card to put the deposit on the room. Because I booked it last minute. Like, let's be realistic. I booked it the 13th. And I splurged because I was like, I'm not coming back down here another day. So I booked the other night because they gave me it. So I went to the dollar store. And I got all those little battery candles. Because I didn't want to burn the place down. And then I got like the faux rose petals. I did the whole
thing. He did it up thing. Like what you would see on and a TV show.
And you didn't know. You only knew.
I had no idea.
This hotel is just down. It's on the same street as Park Lane Mall. I think they're technically in the same building. Yeah. It's like a mall that has.
This is super specific.
But those in Halifax, our Haligonians are going to know. But basically, there's a movie theater in the bottom. So we went and saw the movie, or we had dinner and then went to the movie. And that's all you thought. We thought we were going. You thought we were going back to residence.
Well, it was only 5 minutes up the road. Like,
but when we went there, you were so shocked when at the corner, I was like, no, we turn here.
Well, it was like that. That's why I kind of don't want to bash Valentine's Day too much, even though we just spent the last 10 minutes ripping it to shreds. I will say when you go all out for somebody like that on Valentine's Day, when they're totally not expecting it and you're new in your relationship, it does make you feel like you're in like a romantic comedy. I felt like that girl. For real. Honestly, sometimes I still think about that. Like the rose petals and like the little candles and stuff and like walking into that room. Keep in mind, I'm what, 18 years old. No one has ever done something like that for me. It was just, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Like it was really.
I mean, we broke up a couple times after that. But
but here we are today. But we raw dogged it in that hotel room that night. No, for real though, there was something really special. Like we can joke about it now, but it is something. It's a memory that I'll always have and hold on to. So maybe do something special for. But if you did something special for me now on Valentine's Day, I wouldn't care as much because you always do things like that for me. That because that's who you are.
Yeah, I like to do. I like to give people an experience. So even when I feel like every episode at some point we talk about the land, so I might as well get it out of the way now. But even when looking at the land, when you look at the dome, that was designed so that someone could come over and have an amazing experience. We could hang out all day, have a friend over for the afternoon, you know? But when you want your alone time, you don't feel like you're set in a room. I just like to give people a really positive experience and like a break from the realities of the world because I feel like a lot of people shelter me from the realities of the world to allow me to like have that experience all the time.
You know, but I think that that comes from how we view the world. I want to kind of address the elephant in the room. Yes, we are having a glass of red wine on Valentine's Day.
Okay. A glass.
A glass. But
one and done.
We have one and then and then we have a glass of water and go to bed. That's it. That's our night. No, for real. I know that this sounds probably like maybe a little deep, but you and I are 78 and 79 at heart. We have
if I'm being 79 because I'm the older one, like 78 was obviously you. If you're calling me 79, you're like 109.
Okay,
like you are so much more mature and like
I just
wiser than me. Like you've aged way more.
Yeah, I don't want to say that like I have it all figured out because like I'm always growing every day. Like I'm learning something more and new about myself. But I do really believe that you only, at the end of your life, you only have the memories that you've been lucky enough to accumulate along the way. Money doesn't matter. Things don't matter. Really nothing matters except the experiences that you've had. And you and I have always, always been on that vibe. From life is a journey, like using our wedding money and not buying things, but going on experiences. Like
even things I find my parents are just coming around to it now, but like for the longest time at the land, they didn't understand our mentality of it'll get done. We were stressed out beyond stressed, but like it'll get done. Like that.
It'll work out.
Something's going to happen. We don't know when. We don't know how. It's going to get done. So like, let's not talk about it. Let's move on. Let's put it in a box and we're going to put it neatly on the shelf. This shelf is called Things to Do. And we'll pull that box down to deal with it when we're ready. Like we've always had that approach of like things will figure themselves out. We have limited control. I mean, we do have control over our fate and where we're going. But at the same time, there is a universe that is moving. You and I have complete control of our life. Everyone else has complete.
We have control over nothing.
No, but like what I'm saying is people are making decisions and controlling their life to the amount that everyone can. But when the person next to you starts to make decisions and control their life, that has a ripple effect on the universe. And that then has an impact on you. So the best thing...
Did you just smoke a joint and watch the butterfly effect? Like, where is this going?
This is why, like, so I don't believe in like a God. I just believe in a force out there. And like everyone is doing, I believe, the best that they can. Not everyone is, but... It's just things are going to happen. Things are going to work out the way that they're supposed to. So stop stressing over it.
Yeah, I do agree.
Like, you don't need to sit here and fret. Sure, there are days that
I was sitting here fretting because I did not know where you were going with that.
Obviously, it happens situational. But what I'm saying is there are so many people that get so caught up and lose so much time. You'll focus on one stress point for so long. When in the grand scheme of things, that stress point, when you actually come to it and accomplish it with such a minute amount of time in the overall picture versus the amount of time that you lost fretting over it.
Yeah. This is really deep.
We're off Valentine's Day.
Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, when you are like breathing your last few breaths, you're going to ask... Did I live a life that had love? Did I give love? Did I receive love? And everything else, it doesn't really matter.
I don't think so either.
But keeping that in mind, I know it's difficult to do, but you and I, we've known that for a while. And I think we've always been intentional in thinking about that. Even when we have our bad moments, when we have our fights, when we're down in the dumps, like we were fighting earlier today. We were not having a great day.
We just were like, could have been the Adderall. We don't know, but we're not going to blame me. It's anyone's fault at this point.
Todd calls it being fuddy-duddies. It's like when we're being fuddy-duddies, when we're bumping heads, but we bump heads, but I think even when we're bumping heads, we both know it's temporary.
Do you know what? It's interesting. So I often think this is how I get through fights. So there's obviously, I love you. I love the positive traits, but at the same time, there are negatives about you.
Like what?
But I still love that. And when you're driving me crazy, what actually grounds me in a fight, and I will admit, I'm not the type to admit I'm wrong. When I'm admitting I'm wrong, it's when I'm moving on. And that's like my love language. My love language is like sign language. And I'm signaling to you, we're moving on.
You have a lot of competing. I'm going to let you finish, but I want to say you have a lot of competing love languages. Like,
as if you don't.
Physical touch. You're
on my terms. I'm like a cat.
Yeah.
Like if we're in bed like and you want to hold me. Sure, it was nice the other night when I couldn't sleep. But then on nights in the summer when it's really warm, get away from me.
Get the fuck away
like,
from me.
Like I'm already sweating. I don't need you touching me. Or
do you know what my favorite
you're
is?
You're breathing.
When I say, because I always ask for permission. Like if we wake up in the middle of the night, it's like 3 a.m. I'll like rub your back and I'll say like, do you want me to hold you? And like in the winter... Yes. Like face like mushed into the pillow.
Also, Tyler can get a lot of information out of me when I'm asleep. I am like,
what's your social security number?
Like
1, 2.
As if I know my. It has a
Talks.
6 in it somewhere and an 8 somewhere else. That's all I know of it. And a 0, I think. I think there's a 0. I really do.
There is all three of them. But really? Let's not say any more of them.
But yeah, if you want anything out of me, break into our house at night and just talk to me. I'll give you our bank passwords, anything.
But you are genuinely honest in those moments. But in the summer, if I do that, you're... No, don't touch me. Like, so exact. But it's true. Who wants someone else's body on them when they're warm?
Yeah. Definitely not. And the other thing that drives me crazy is when you're getting sick and you... starts mouth breathing and I'll literally wake up and say, roll around.
No, you don't say roll around that quick. You say... roll around. That's how you say it.
Sorry. There's same a message.
There is a distinction in the tone.
But that's love.
But do you know what though? When you do that and I'm like, and you, when I hear the roll, I go like this. Because I know what it means now.
But this is also why I don't go to people's cabins and spend the night. I don't share hotel rooms with people. I like to go to sleep, and when I go to sleep, I don't want to hear you asleep.
Yeah.
Shut up. Go to sleep and don't make noise. I don't make noise.
I don't know what it's called. I know for people that can't handle hearing other people eat, it's misophonia, I think, because I've got a touch of that. I can't handle the chewing.
Drives you crazy when I'm having ramen. That's your worst one because it's a slurping and a chewing.
Can't. Like, I will look at him.
We normally eat our ramen apart.
Like, fully he's eating and I'm like, what is happening right now? But for sleep, that's definitely called something. I'm sure someone in the comments will know. But you can't handle that.
Cannot.
Sleep, breathing.
I can't handle the sound of like an autonomous thing.
Yeah.
Like your body is on autopilot. Why are you interjecting and making it noise? That's no.
You're not a part of the conversation right now.
Like if my furnace was making noise on just keeping the ambient temperature warm, I would have someone come in and service it or replace it. You know?
Right now we have the furnace turned off. So for your audio enjoyment.
Oh, well, that's because there was snow here and then we got rain and our furnace is an electric furnace, which is like a big heat pump type unit outside of the house. Yeah. So there's ice on the blades. So it's really noisy until that ice either warms up or falls off. It's noisy.
So there's no heat. But we're warm.
We're warm. Red wine tends to thin the blood and warm the soul.
Yeah.
Also, we indulge in red wine season from like middle of January to March because it is, I find it's the best time to enjoy it. I'm not going to drink. This is a Cab Franc we're drinking. I'm not going to have this on the back deck when it's 26 degrees out in July.
Red wine, I really think it was made for this time of year.
I think so.
All right, enough about our love of wine. Let's talk about love languages.
Oh, love it. Okay, so question for you. What would you say is my first and
number one?
First and second.
Okay, oh wait. Also, for people who don't know about love languages, we only found out about this like a few years ago.
Yeah, it was from our friend Dawn.
Yeah.
She's a photographer and she was taking photos of us and she got to ask us what our love languages are.
We were like, what's a love language?
But it was a way for her to create like this comfortable environment for us to like have a really fun photo shoot. And then it kind of set us on this path of like, what are love languages? Like, let's figure this out a little bit more. So what would you say my one and two are?
Definitely physical touch. We should explain what love language is. Like,
I only know the ones that apply to us. I have a small attention span. I can't pay attention to the ones that I don't need to know about.
Words of affirmation, physical touch, gifts.
Yeah. Words of affirmation. Okay. This is like, I feel like we're in couples counseling now. Words of affirmation, physical touch, gifts, time.
Quality time.
Yeah. Quality time. And there's a fifth, isn't there?
Yes. I can't remember it. And I, you know what? My tendency right now is to leave my phone.
Yeah.
And
because you're going to get a whole thing. You're going to end up on like,
I don't want to
fill out 20 questions and we'll tell you what yours are.
But I do know that whatever the fifth mystery love language is,
it's probably not that important in our relationship.
For us, it definitely isn't.
We're not focused on it.
We're not focused on the gifts one either. Mm-mm. Ours is physical touch. We're acts of service.
Yes. Do shit for me.
Yeah. It just came to me in a vision. But gifts are really low on the priority for
very
us.
Very low. You're very not low. Getting to my heart. If Tyler and I break up, you're not getting into my bed with a gift. But I tell you what, if you're going to be Big Spoon, you're more than welcome to come into this bedroom, baby.
If you're going to do the dishes, if you're going to do the laundry, if you're going to make the bed.
And tell you that you're beautiful.
Ass up at the end of the bed. You can forget about it. All fours. No, I'm joking.
But what's interesting though, okay, like kind of bringing it back and being a little bit serious. What's interesting is, physical touch, I would say, is a big one for me. When I'm spiraling and I feel like I'm losing control.
You kind of talked about that earlier. When you couldn't fall asleep. Yeah.
It makes sense. Like how many times when I was in my old job, like the day that I had someone throw their shoes at me, spit on me and call me an effing F get, you know, the derogatory term towards our community. All I wanted, I came home before you knew something was wrong. All I wanted was just to I walked into your arms and you held me. That was all I wanted. But what's interesting is it's only with you, my physical touch. I'm not a hugger. I don't like hugging people. I find it very invasive. And I think that's because touch is such an intimate thing for me.
Yeah, but that does make sense. Like we're in love. Of course, you're going to want to have that intimate connection with me. And that's your love language. It's not your friendship language. You want those things from me because we're in love.
And it's a comforting thing. And I think that's sort of what love means to me now. Okay, we're going to continue on with love languages, but I want to try and remember to come back to what love means to you. Like, how would you define love? Because I feel like that's interesting.
We'll put a pin in that we probably...
Maybe will, maybe won't. We'll see. Roll the dice. So yeah, mine is definitely physical touch is my number one.
Yeah.
And then quality time.
Yeah, you love quality time.
I just, do you want to get in the car and just go for a drive? Mm-hmm. How many on the weekends, how many Saturday afternoons or Sunday afternoons did we just make a coffee, load the boys in the car, and just go for a drive?
Yeah. I think... both of us, quality time. I think mine is probably quality time is number one. And then number two, let's be honest here, wavers between physical touch and words of affirmation.
Physical touch is way down there. As someone who tries to understand your love languages and communicate in them, physical touch isn't as important to you as words of affirmation.
Sometimes physical touch is number one, but it's not. It really we ebb and flow between, I feel like our top three are our top three, but we're in different places at different times, if that makes sense.
It's also different too, because for me, for example, quality time, if we both list that as number two, the amount of quality time that I need to feel fulfilled in that love language is way more than the amount of quality time that you would need to feel fulfilled.
Todd. Tyler. I just had a literal epiphany.
Oh my God, I love it. Should we cheers to that?
I think we should. Hold on. I'm having a breakthrough. The two qualities of the five that, or the two, the love languages per se, that we don't identify with, the gifts and the acts of service, both of those things are things where you're like projecting expectations onto somebody else. Like, look at all the dishes that I've done. I'm going to do the dishes because it benefits us both.
You also
I'm
doing dirtied the half of them.
Yeah. Like it's, we're not keeping score. Same as gifts. Every single day that we spend together is a gift. Those two things, I don't think.
We share a bank account. If you buy me a gift, I paid for half of it and you literally spent my money without consulting me. That's going to piss me off.
Yeah. I don't, those love languages, those are the ones that are, they're not really as tangible.
But I think, okay, so this kind of goes back to Valentine's Day. I think that maybe we should look at love languages as a stepping stone. So,
true.
It's gifts and acts of service.
When you're early in your relationship.
Then you move into your quality or your words of affirmation and your physical touch. And then we all aspire to the day where we're just happy for the quality time.
Yeah, that's so true, actually. Aw, because like the longer that we're together, yes, jumping your bones, of course, love it. Like, cheers to that.
Yeah,
but
I'm not fighting it.
But it's not the thing that, it's not my priority.
It's not and, why I'm here.
And realistically, as we get older and older, it will become less of a priority.
My hips will go.
But the beautiful thing about it is it, with the bedrock of quality time, that is always there. That is the most important love language. If we can spend time together and just be like old little grandpas looking at
sitting on our deck, you know, rocking chairs and all.
That's all I want.
Okay, so speaking of quality time, I feel like that's a natural way to segue back to what,
like you're bringing taking it off back. The pinboard?
Yeah. Okay. So what does love mean to you now versus when we first started dating? When you first said, I love you, Todd.
Oh.
What did that mean to you then? And how did you envision love to when you say...
That's a really good question.
Okay.
I think that when you're young, you think that you know what love is, but when you get older, it deepens. I wouldn't say that when I said that I loved you, I did love you. I thought that I loved you, but...
You just loved the idea of me.
What I mean is every year that goes by, it deepens and becomes this richer, more like full-bodied thing. It's kind of like a glass of wine or a good olive oil. It matures and it deepens and becomes something better. It was still a glass of wine when I first met you, but now it is
vinegar.
Piss. No. Now, to use that analogy, like I feel like I'm at this beautiful restaurant in Italy and it's everything. It's so much more than what I thought it was. I still enjoyed it at the time, but now it's just something more.
I totally get what you mean. And I think that I think when you're young, you don't quite understand what it is. It kind of goes back to what we were saying about how schools don't do a good job. They teach you sex. They don't teach you love. Mm-hmm. And so it's like saying, I love you to your mom is different than saying, I love you to the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Yeah. But how do you understand that both those loves are love? There's just a different feel, like thing to it and like whole different realm.
Do you know what's interesting? I think the longer you're with someone, so love, the way that you love a boyfriend or girlfriend, spouse, whatever they are, that love, the longer you're with someone, becomes more like the way that you love a sibling or a parent, it becomes, that's your family. That's your unit. Attraction and sexuality and, like, you know, I want to jump your bones. Obviously, I don't feel that way about family members, but...
I would hope not.
Fingers crossed.
This is why you're always so excited and counting down the days to the family reunion. It all makes sense.
It all suddenly makes sense. But what I mean, though, is that love really, to me, is that feeling. It's not about whether I want to be intimate with you. It's about I want to spend my time with you. It's deeper than just sex.
Yeah. And I think it's also a choice you make. So I allowed myself to love you and find comfort in you. And that's when I say about how whenever I want to experience something new, I want to do it with you, or I'm having a bad day and I come home and all I need.
Do you think everyone feels that way, though?
I don't know, but that's my version of love. Everyone could have something different. You and I, we were scrolling on Instagram and you see, you know, like the person that it's like, oh, they're totally with them because of the money or something like that. But that could be their version of love. We don't know how they define it. But for me, I define...
That's such a weird example. But,
like, I know. It's easy to say gold digger or sugar daddy or all that stuff. But that could be something that they
need. Yeah, you don't know someone's story.
Whatever their story is, that's what they're seeking validation through. I'm seeking validation through the feeling of home. And home to me... We've lived in 11 different places in 15 years. Home to me is where you are, and now it's where Charlie, Eddie, and Squirrel are. That also is love. I love to be home. So, like, I think that's how I view it differently than before, because when we first got together, like, it was very passionate, like, multiple times a day, you know, that whole new thing, that faded. And I think that's where a lot of people relationships burn out is your version of love can't adapt. Like making love and love are two different things. And I think at the beginning, they're the same.
It gets really blurry. It's easy at the beginning to be like, oh my gosh, this is love. When a lot of times...
I can't walk today. This is love.
But like... It's infatuation and just maybe a little bit of obsession. And it's just like there's all of these emotions. You feel so wild. But it's cool that we've been able to have all of these different progressions along the chapters of our life and our love.
Yeah.
It just feels so, I don't know.
I'm just thinking though, like, okay, so. This might be TMI, and I'm sorry if I embarrass you for, like...
I really don't get embarrassed
anymore. Okay, perfect. So we would do the deed, and then we would just sit there and talk and talk and talk. And I think that was really key to our relationship, is that communication and discussion. And every time, sure, we would make love.
Well, like, what were we going to do, roll over? We're not a couple straight guys.
But, like, it was, like... learning more about you. And I started to, like, I loved learning more about you. And I feel as though every conversation I have with you, I still get taken back to that first time learning more about you. Cause you, every time we get into a deep conversation about life or whatever, another aspect of you comes through, and I'm sure a different aspect of me. And that's like a comfort thing that comes with the time and the love and like putting the work into your relationship.
That is really true. Actually, the more all we do is just like gap. The funny thing is this podcast, yes, it's us choosing to sit on the couch and we have lights on and, you know, it's like there's a production here, but this is very much our life. When we turn the cameras off,
we still have red wine and we just chit chat.
We just gab. But like, that's love. It's quality time. It's we we have a friendship beyond everything else.
Okay, so question for you then. Am I the one? Is there a one? What's your take on...
Yeah, it's a good question. People gave us shit for this before. I really firmly believe... I don't think that there is a one for someone. I really think if... Knock on wood. If you died tomorrow, or if I died tomorrow, I think that...
We could also just go with, like, breaking up, but one of us has to be dead, apparently.
No. No.
We could just walk away, but no.
No.
A plane hit you. You were on the sidewalk and the plane hit you. Nothing else but you.
Just you.
And everyone on the plane is alive, but you're dead.
But you died. You got sucked up into the engine and
you're gone.
No. If we broke up, whatever the situation is, I really do believe that you and I would both find happiness again. That to me is a belief that I will always carry with me. If you're listening to this and your spouse died, or, you know, you broke up and you haven't found someone new, I really think that there is something beautiful of holding out that you maybe, yes, you may not find someone, but the opportunity is always there if you keep that light on for yourself. Because the second that you believe that you had your love and there is nobody else for you ever, well, then there is nobody else because you're not open to it. And I always want to be open to it. That said, I will never in my life, even if I love someone again, it will never be to the depth and like true love that this is, because you are my first love.
Yeah. I think a first love hits different, but I totally agree. And I feel as though if I were to, you and I are fortunate, we've grown as individuals, but as a couple, we've grown in the same direction, which also is in a positive direction of us growing individually. It's all been a harmonious growth, like positive, you know?
I want to say, this is the red wine that I can feel myself welling up.
Give me your hand, you little smuts. But I think that if you are hell-bent on only one, like there's only one out there for you, you restrict yourself as a person from growing. So yeah. You find Mr. Right at 24 and that's it. You're not allowed to grow as an individual.
Yeah, you can't.
And I think that like I would never want to be in a relationship with that, and I would never want to feel like I caused someone to feel like they were in a relationship like that. Like, I want you to grow and spread your wings and be the baddest bitch you can be, because like doing anything less is a disservice to you.
But you and I, though, we've always been of like the mindset.
But clean yourself up. The tears are a mess. I'm joking.
You're not joking.
I'm joking, love.
But
I love you.
You and I love you too. You and I have always been of like the mindset, like we're the grow as we go, like, you know.
Ben Platt.
Yeah.
It's a good video if you want to watch that music video.
Yeah.
Pour yourself a double glass of red wine, sit down and just enjoy that video and cry to your heart's content.
But
it's a good soul cleanse.
It's a good soul cleanse, but that's been our vibe for as long as we've been together. We don't have it figured out. We have shitty days. We fight. It's not every day is perfect, but we're making the choice to grow together. And that's what love is.
I want to say something though. Like we say we fight. So we fight
less than anyone else I know, but we do bicker.
What I find, we bicker a lot, but the thing is like, that's our love language. Maybe we've created a sixth that is unique to us, but it's like cut through the bullshit and call a spade a spade. Like I don't have time to weed through your subliminal messages and beating around the bush. Like if I feel you being a fuddy-duddy, I'm going to be like, what's going on? You're being a C-U-N-T. Like, yeah. I call it as it is. Like, let's get to it.
Also, I'm pretty sure that this is, like, not a thing that's allowed now about not going to bed mad. Apparently, that's not, that's, like, a bad thing. You should want, you should be okay with your partner going to bed and then you resume it the next day because you're respecting their space and all of that. Not that we like come crash in each other's room and get angry and like all of that if we're in a fight, but you and I have a principle. We never go to bed mad.
But it's also like,
but that's always worked.
It always, it works for us. I don't want to put that pressure on someone else's relationship because that may not be how they process. That may not be how they deal. But you and I both, we live a fast life. Like, we have a lot of balls in the air and we need to make decisions. We can't allow those balls to start falling because we're caught up in something emotional. A lot of fights are an emotional thing. There's like, let's cut through that and get to the rational and figure out a way forward. Like, we don't have time to waste on it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that maybe that's an extra love language we've like created, but you and I, maybe that's why I love you so much and why it will never be the same. But we speak so, we can have a whole conversation with each other by just looking and moving our facial muscles around. Yeah. Like in social settings, I can totally tell you can be having a conversation with someone. I'll make eye contact with you. You'll adjust your face in a way to let me know how the conversation is going, if I should come in or not. Like if you are about ready to leave, I love that. Like Navy SEALs got nothing, nothing on our communication.
You
can
see
skills.
My two little peeps from 500 clicks away.
And I know what you mean. Yeah. I don't need night vision. I can see it.
It's so true.
But I love that.
Yeah.
But I also am not going to hold myself that, and I hope it doesn't happen, but if we grow in different directions, I'm not going to hold myself to the happiness that I felt now. I need to adjust my definition of happiness and feel that love.
Like you wouldn't wall off the potential that you could find happiness again. You don't necessarily need to compare how you feel now.
I can appreciate what I have and understand the respect that I have in a relationship with you, but then appreciate the quirks and uniqueness of my next partner. The same as like your quirks and uniqueness are so different than mine.
In theory, I mean, you're never going to find all this. So
I hope I never have to go searching.
I hope like, you don't either.
Don't get sucked into a plane engine.
Fingers crossed. I mean, that's the only circumstances that we're not going to be together. I don't mean to get like sappy, but I love you.
I love you too. I didn't mean to just burp then, but it's the red wine. I get red wine burps. I'm really gaseous on my red wine.
All right. On that note, is it time for tea time?
Sure.
Recently, I started talking to an ex again. We dated when we were 15 to 16, and now, 15 years later, we've reconnected. We now just talk a lot, and he helps me with hanging some shelves, etc., as I recently moved into a new place.
That's how all porns start, though. I'm just going to preface this. Like, I heard you got some shelves you want to hang. I'm looking to pound this nail into a stud.
But he never makes a move. Saying he doesn't have time, even though he talks dirty and smiles the way he used to when he wanted it. I can't understand what is real and what's not. We even have that deep connection. We have a lot in common, and the air is filled with sparkles. How the hell do I get him in bed? You, in honor of Valentine's Day, you need to tell him. It is not on him.
Oh, see, I was going in a different direction. I was going to say, text him and say, I need help with something in my apartment. When he gets there, the door is open and you're just naked. Naked, saying,
naked.
It's all yours. It's always been yours. It will always be yours. Now take what's rightfully yours. That's how I would approach it.
Honestly, I don't have anything else to add. Like, what else can you do?
I would never have the confidence to just like be completely naked. I don't like being naked in front of you,
but actually,
a very dimly lit lamp all the way in the corner. Like, you know?
But that actually, seriously, can you imagine?
No. So what I would do, in all honesty, is I wouldn't put necessarily pressure on saying, I'm inviting him over, I'm having our favorite meal, and I'm going to talk about the feelings. I would find a natural way. If you feel this connection and that this magic is happening in that moment, ask him. What does this mean to you?
When you feel the sparkles, imagine when you feel the sparkles.
He probably feels it too.
Look at him.
You're just
say,
two glitter bombs ready to burst.
Do you feel that?
Do you feel that steam heat from my undercarriage?
You can't go wrong with that.
And that's how I would approach it. So either ask him if he feels the steam heat from your undercarriage or invite him over and be naked in the front entrance.
Yeah. I mean, you could do either of those, but when you feel the sparkles, I would ask him,
I wouldn't say sparkles. Keep it natural.
Not the spark. She said it was sparkles.
I know, but just like when the moment feels right, it's probably right. So communicate. I feel like that's our answer to everything, but maybe we just have amazing communication skills. Communicate. Talk to him.
If you asked me when I was feeling butterflies for you.
But they're 32 and 33 now.
Todd, they dated when they were 15 and 16.
I get that. But now that you're in your 30s, cut to the chase. Like when you feel like it's that sparkle.
Yeah,
that
we don't have time to waste.
Like the clock is ticking. And it's speeding up. So, like, I would just, when it feels right, ask him. And you'll know the natural way to ask him. Maybe it's saying, do you want to go get a drink or dinner? Or maybe...
Or naked in the front entrance.
Or maybe it's, what does this mean to you? Like, what do I mean to you? You'll know the right thing to say to him at the right moment if you allow yourself to not only feel that, but respond when you feel it.
Yeah, I love the idea of...
Yeah, but you love soap operas. You love reality TV.
No,
like
I
you're,
don't. I don't. I don't.
You don't.
I don't.
You don't. Tyler doesn't.
I do not. Well, hopefully that helped, but in all seriousness...
It probably didn't.
But no, it really, it's Valentine's Day. If you were with him when you were 15 and 16 and you have this opportunity again, that is, it's too cute to not pass up.
It also sounds like a Hallmark love story, and I'm a sucker for those movies. So just go for it. Like, go save your family's inn and take him with you.
Hopefully this was helpful, and we're going to go enjoy our Valentine's Day.
Meet Tyler in the front entrance, as discussed earlier.
Have a lovely week. Cheers.
Cheers.
To love.
And to love.
And we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye.
Bye.